Hello, dear listener. Say, what would you call a fizzy, sugary beverage? Or what would you say when you're getting the attention of two or more people? Or what do you call shoes that you wear when you're exercising? Think about it, but not too hard, and we're gonna revisit this survey in give or take 10 minutes. My name is Misha, by the way, and you're listening to the Radio DePaul podcast. I hope everyone's had a fun Halloween. I certainly did, but that's not the focus for this episode. And as you might be able to guess from those survey questions a bit earlier, I'm going to be talking about accents. A little bit about Chicago's accents, a little bit more broadly about how accents develop, and even more broadly about identity. One last thing before we start, though, and I'll mention them throughout the episode and at the end as well. There are a few professors who greatly helped out with this project. So Bradley Hu in the Modern Language Department, Jason Schneider in the Writing, Rhetoric, and Discourse Department, and Rachel Boyle in the History Department. All three professors have answered a handful of questions which will be explored as we're going through this. Let's start off with, what is the Chicago accent anyways? When I was originally planning and writing this episode, I had only really been keen to the Chicago accent that you're probably thinking of right now. It came to Chicago a few decades after the completion of the Erie Canal, where the Irish working class of the city would be unloading cargo from boats manned by New Yorkers. And although the New York and Chicago accents have separated a bit since then, they both fall into the wider northern cities vowel shift phenomenon. Sometimes known as the Great Lakes accent, it also came to Chicago via train. And I think it's important to note this brief history, especially as Irish folks have become socially accepted as white, as the accent is generally seen nowadays in the white working class of the city. It's a very blue-collar accent. It's kind of in the northern Midwest more generally. And it's gotten a lot of attention over the years. So as far as specific examples go, I would say that the YouTube channel Crime Pays But Botany Doesn't, he has this one video called Long Drive to Wisconsin that's really solidly like the Chicago accent to the point where it's kind of parody. And I also want to mention the Chicago Bears podcast. One of the narrators has a pretty strong Chicago accent. I'm just not sure which name in the credits goes to which voice, in all honesty. Also, I do think there could definitely be some work done on the significance of the Chicago accent in sports specifically. It isn't the aim of this episode, but even that old grody SNL skit from 1991 with Bill Swirsky is really interesting in that relationship of like city and team pride and the accent. I think it's an interesting dynamic, at least. Either way, this is the accent I was thinking about, because some of my relatives have a very noticeable Great Lakes Chicago accent, and my original thesis was that the accent was kind of fading throughout generations. That might be true for my family, but this idea is broadly incorrect for reasons we will get into once we're talking about accents more broadly. But I also wanted to talk about one of the other main accents of the city, the Black Chicago accent or the African American Chicago accent, which really doesn't get an equivalent amount of coverage. As of the 2020 census, about 30% of the city is African American, not including mixed people, which is a massive group to be overlooking. So African American vernacular English in Chicago can be mostly traced back to the Great Migration, which started during and throughout World War I and had another wave in World War II. It is estimated that during the first wave of the Great Migration, about 500,000 African Americans moved to Chicago to fill open positions. So at this point, AAV already exists. It's a dialect, with accent being one of the many building blocks in the creation of a given dialect. But as racial discrimination continued and worsened in the North as the Great Migration was occurring, and with Chicago still being a very segregated city to this day, it isn't a surprise that there is still a distinction that can be heard between the Great Lakes Chicago and the African American Chicago accents. As far as examples of the Black Chicago accent go, I would check out a video from Complex featuring Lil Durk as he gives a tour of Inglewood. It's an interesting video outside of the accent stuff, but you can hear the Southern influences as well as a slight bit of vowel shifting in that Great Lakes style. It's a really cool combination. Another example, which is a bit on the older end, it's about 10 years old, is a video from a channel called Chi-Town Rattler. It's the only video up on her channel, where she reads different words like orange, tour, shore, so on and so forth, to give a sample of the accent. Both of those videos give like a really good idea of what I'm describing in this section. And something really interesting I found while doing like really early research into this episode is that there's currently work being done at Northwestern University called the Chicagoland Language Project. It's led by Annette Donofrio and Charisse King. And they did interviews in Beverly and Morgan Park from 2017 through 2018 and are currently doing interviews in Jefferson Park, Norwood Park, Edison Park, and Bronzeville. If you live or grew up in those areas, I think they're still accepting applicants who want to participate. And the project's homepage will be in the show notes with the most up-to-date information. Charisse King also has a paper from early 2021 called Sources of Variation in the Speech of African Americans, Perspectives from Sociophonetics, that's open to the public to read. So if you have some spare time, it goes a lot more in-depth about how AAV has changed regionally after the Great Migration and discusses how well slash how poorly documented these changes have been over the years and in different areas. So those two accents are the most prominent here in Chicago. The historical information is mostly from my notes when I took AMS 240, Chicago History, Geography, and Cultures, which Rachel Boyle taught last winter. And in my brain, there's also kind of a third catch-all category for U.S. migrants to the city and immigrants to the city. And I think there's also a very slight distinction in western parts of Chicago as well, which leads us to one of the driving questions I had going into this episode. And that is the Chicago accent dying out? Are the accents we do have in the city just melding together, or are they dissolving completely? In the very early research for this episode, I found a handful of articles that talk about whether or not this is happening, and I was kind of assuming that the Great Lakes accent was fading out, but my assumptions were faulty, and here's why. Remember when I said we would talk about dialects again? Well, here we are. And this is where my emails with Professor Hoop come to fruition. Some components of dialect include, but are not limited to, accents, vocabulary, grammar, and even how quickly or slowly a person speaks. And a person's dialect is only one part of their overall identity. For example, I interviewed Professor Schneider, and in that interview, he mentioned that a lot of Southerners like him who move up north mask their natural Southern accents to avoid prejudice from Native Northerners who tend to be a little bit judgy of the South. And in this way, they aren't just changing their voice, but a part of their perceived identity to a lot of people that they meet. And when they're at home or talking with family over the phone, they probably speak differently than when they're at work or generally trying to fit in the city. On an individual level like this, we can see how different ways of speaking change over time, but also with application. When I'm with friends or family, I don't talk as slowly or as with the same formality as I do when recording episodes of this show, right? But either way, one of the reasons why I and others in the Chicagoland area might think the accent is dying out is simply down to perspective. It's that I grew up in the Midwest and visited Chicago a lot as a kid, and now I live here. People who aren't from the city and didn't grow up here notice the accent the same way I would hear like an Irish accent or a Californian accent and recognize it as different, or at least different from my baseline. Another aspect of accent as identity here is that someone's accent might actually get stronger when they leave where they're from in order to denote a sense of loyalty or pride in their hometown or where they were previously from, right? In an interview from WTTW of Crime Pays But Botany Doesn't, he doesn't have as strong of an accent, I feel, as when he's in other parts of the country. So I'll link that interview from WTTW, but I'll also link another one of his videos where I feel like he's really putting on the accent kind of hard. The other main reason for why the accent isn't dying out, though, is because it's evolving, like all accents do. Every time a person pronounces a syllable or a word, it's different from the last time they pronounced it. Just like a person's handwriting is consistent, but each letter individually that they write is still unique in its own way. You can also train your handwriting similarly to how you can train your voice to sound different, sometimes intentionally and others not so much. An article from earlier this year theorized that as the city is hopefully becoming less segregated, that the Great Lakes, Black Chicago, and other accents are slowly melding together over the generations post Erie Canal and post Great Migration. Every generation interacts and therefore speaks a little differently than their predecessors, and this process, in tandem with the rise of the good old internet, is changing how we speak. I think this is better understood through something like vocabulary, like how millennials might say something corny like on fleek, unironically, as if it's still 2016, and how if I say something like Sigma grind set to my grandmother or even to my mom, it won't mean anything to them. And I know that in less than a year, when people might come across this episode in the future, both of these terms, on fleek and Sigma grind set, will sound ancient. They will be only used in like a mocking sort of way at that point, right? In the same kind of way we say hip. It doesn't mean trendy anymore. It actually just means the opposite, right? But I don't want to dwell on my lack of slang knowledge. Instead, I also wanted to look at regional variations in vocabulary just a little bit. And for this, I did a super informal survey on some of my friends. The first question I asked is, what would they call a fizzy, sugary beverage? Out of 8, only 1 person said pop, 6 said soda, and 1 said Coke to describe like any type of soda, and then would specify when ordering like a Sprite or something. The next question I asked them is what they call the shoes they wear when they're exercising. So 7 of them said that tennis shoes and sneakers were pretty interchangeable, while 1 insisted on gym shoes. And I remember being in like early high school, getting into a heated debate with somebody over whether you should call them tennis shoes or sneakers. I tend to say sneakers, but I use tennis shoes without realizing sometimes. But I feel like tennis shoes are really specific in a way that sneakers aren't, that I personally prefer. That's so besides the point though. The third question I ask them is what they say when they're like trying to get a group's attention, right? So there were 3 people who say guys, like hey guys or what's up guys, then 4 y'alls and 1 folks. The last question is what they call a place with a toilet. So there were 2 restroom-ers, 4 bathroom-ers, and 1 washroom-sayer. If you want to do something like this on yourself or with your friends, there's going to be a quiz in the show notes from the New York Times, and it has an array of these kinds of questions, and it's supposed to predict where you're from, but with it being an archived page, it doesn't actually give you a result. It's supposed to give you like a little heat map of where it thinks you're from. But if you're surveying your friends, the quiz provides a good set of questions either way, and it can lead to some very interesting conversations. And then I also wanted to mention some of the less focused but still very interesting to me personally tidbits I got when interviewing Jason Schneider. For one, a question I had for him was whether or not there was a reason beyond social for accents existing. Like how there's a historical reason why the English alphabet is in the order that it's in. But there's no reason why it needs to be in the order for the sake of survival, right? And that's the same for accents. There are no doubt very detailed accounts of how certain accents have started and evolved over time, but all of them developed out of social, not survival, reasons. And this is pretty obvious, but I still want to ask, because I remember as a little kid reading that the reason why Northerners tend to speak really quickly in comparison to Southerners is because of the cold, and it never made sense to me, and surprise, it doesn't make sense because it just isn't true. Anyways, the other really cool thing is that the Northern cities vowel shift phenomenon is not in isolation. It's actually pretty common with a lot of accents to do something called a change shift. Essentially, this is when one vowel gets replaced by another, and so other vowels shift as well. For example, bat sounding like bat, and bot sounding like bat, like B-A-H-T. So A in that case changes to E, and then O becomes A in this case. I'll be linking a short article about the great vowel shift that happened between Middle English and Modern English, because I'm not doing this phenomenon much justice. It's something that happened and it's really interesting, and it's still being exhibited in other ways today, and I think that that's really cool. That's everything I've got for this episode. This is one where I really want to encourage people who are listening to look at the show notes. There will be several links to the sources I've used, as well as a few further readings that I found really interesting but either couldn't get around to fully or couldn't find a way to fit the information into the episode, at least not in a nice, satisfying kind of way. Again, I want to extend special thanks to Professors Bradley Hoot, Jason Schneider, and Rachel Boyle for providing me information for this episode. If you thought that this topic of accents was particularly interesting, it follows into a broader field of study called linguistics. Bradley Hoot is the director of the linguistics minor here at DePaul. If you are considering adding a minor to your degree, if you have the space for it, linguistics is useful to understand how sounds are produced and understood, and how accents and dialects vary, as well as how speakers use language to mark their social identities. If you have questions or are interested in the program, please contact Professor Hoot at bhoot@depaul.edu. That is bhoot@depaul.edu. Jason Snyder works in the Writing, Rhetoric, and Discourse department here at DePaul, and his research is more in language teaching techniques and English as a second language. If that's interesting to you as well, I'll link to the WRD department's homepage to look through the faculty and classes that might be of interest if you have an open elective or want to minor in professional writing or writing in rhetoric. Rachel Boyle teaches in the history department, and I took her section of AMS 240 last winter. A good handful of my old notes made their way into this episode. I looked it up, and it doesn't seem like she's teaching any classes over the winter quarter, but if Chicago history is not a class you had to take in high school, then I think it's worth taking by virtue of being a student in this city, so be on the lookout for it. Thank you also to my friends for participating in my very informal survey. Overall, it takes a village to put this kind of thing together, and I wouldn't want it any other way. The term is wrapping up, so the next episode is going to have a lot less formality to it. A friend and I, we're going to be talking about Chicago Craigslist. That'll be out on the 21st, so till then, take care, stay safe, stay warm, and goodbye. The Radio DePaul podcast is a production of Radio DePaul and DePaul University. This episode was written and produced by me, Misha Mikami, and the music you hear during the intro and outro here was arranged by Adam Shang, Radio DePaul's current production director. If you would like me to cover a particular topic or just say hello, my email is radiodepaulpodcast@gmail.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, please tell a friend and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in and have a great 2 weeks.